this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. We need to be minded of the views that are expressed here, and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and of course we welcome your calls ordinarily at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, but please hold your calls, because I don't think we're going to want to take any this hour. We have this on the line, John Clark, and John has written a book called Godly Words and Godly Actions, which is really going into this, so much of what's going on in America today, and it really is pointing out the fact that supposedly we have Christian leaders in a Christian nation, but if you look and see what we're doing, there's a great deal of discrepancy between words and actions. So with that as a background, John, thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
Well, it's an honor, sir. Thank you.
We're going to be talking this evening about the Military Commissions Act. We're going to be talking about the John Warner National Defense Authorization Act. And John is an attorney, so he can certainly read these things, and he's gone through them at great length. And I want you to hear what he has to say about these two pieces of legislation, which, according to Senator Patrick Leahy, are a blueprint for a dictatorship in America. In fact, they encourage the president to declare a military dictatorship and martial law. So, with that as a background, why don't you just pick up the story there, John?
Well, thank you, Doctor. We have been discussing the broader implications of these acts and how they change our historical protections. And I reflected on this, and really there are a lot of complicated legal aspects of our Constitution, and most of us can't really become familiar with all of them. But the general idea throughout our history, really in the very idea of the creation of our structure, was that the federal government would not be this runaway power that would take over and take away all of the powers of the states. And that's why I believe I think it was about 1889, the Posse Comitatus Act was passed and basically codified that basic understanding of our structure of government. And that protected us from the federal government using the U.S. military against civilians, against American citizens. And that's all been swept out the door in the last month or two, as you know, through the Military Commissions Act, but particularly through the John Warner National Defense Authorization Act. And I went through, and I've gone through those, and I continue to go through these rather voluminous pieces of legislation and see what's in their nooks and crannies. But I was sharing with you a couple of things that were noteworthy about this. But the broader picture that we're talking about is that we're living under a government that is gradually tightening the noose around our necks and taking away more and more of our freedoms. My book discusses many areas where this government has expanded federal power, the No Child Left Behind Act, and through other things that pretend to be helping us, like trickle-down economics and compassionate conservatism, are actually really closing down the lid on our rights and our freedoms in this country. So some of the things that I noticed that were really telltale warnings about this act that I shared with you are the fact that it by its terms, acknowledges that it's not constitutional.
All right, fine. Well, we just want to go through point by point first with the Military Commissions Act, and then with the John Warner National Defense Authorization Act. And why people should really be concerned about this? There are a few people back in Washington, D.C., who've spoken out and tried to warn the American people that we're looking at a blueprint for a dictatorship here in America. And you have to ask why this is happening. After all, aren't we fighting for freedom overseas? Or is it possible... Is it just possible that what's going on over the Middle East is a great diversion, and as our boys go overseas to fight for freedom, we're losing our freedom here at home? Well, John, you go ahead and pick up the story.
Well, thank you. And to directly answer your question, we can see the blueprint there. why there's a blueprint is the question that we would naturally ask. But we must ask, first we must see what the government is doing in order to ask the questions why it would be acting in this way. And the Military Commissions Act, interestingly, contains a provision which states that the authority that it grants to the president, quote, may not be construed to alter or limit the authority of the president under the Constitution of the United States and laws of the United States to establish military commissions for areas declared to be under martial law or in occupied territories should circumstances so require, unquote. What's interesting about that is it seems to be more than just precatory language. It seems to anticipate the possibility, if not the probability, of martial law being imposed, which is quite a bit of foresight for an administration that has shown itself to be singularly short on foresight, particularly in Iraq and elsewhere. So it suggests also that they are anticipating perhaps setting up other military tribunals than those envisioned here.
Now, are you suggesting that these might be military tribunals here in the United States if we were under martial law?
Well, it's very clear that there's nothing else that could be understood from that. We have the sweeping legislation here that sets up an entire structure of military tribunals, the only limitation being that it's for alien people, not for American citizens. As we'll discuss, that's a gray standard as well. So this, by its terms, is leaving the door open in the event of martial law, which you'll recall the USA Patriot Act gives George Bush the specific authority to declare when he determines that there's an emergency. It seems to anticipate that other military tribunals could or would be set up under the U.S. Constitution under his powers that way. Again, anticipated the USA Patriot Act. It seems to me to be almost inevitable the way we see this government developing. But what else would it be used for other than against U.S. citizens? We already have military tribunals for our own military through, you know, our military courts, and now we have them for aliens. What other military courts would be set up, other military commissions, other than for U.S. citizens? And that seems to be anticipated in the very terms of this act.
And really what is so frightening about this act is the fact that the courts cannot intervene. This actually limits the ability of the courts to intervene. It takes away the right of habeas corpus from people who are, not American citizens. But, of course, the question then arises, if you were arrested and put in prison and the courts couldn't intervene, how could you ever get to appeal to a court to get the right of habeas corpus? So it is almost simply creates all sorts of impossible situations, potentially, for American citizens. And we'll be back in just a moment with John Clark. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and John was just talking about this idea of establishing military commissions, and this is in the Act, and it is suggesting that the military commissions are going to be established in the United States in the event of declaring martial law. If the president declares martial law, and he's given the permission to declare martial law, then he would be able to establish military commissions to render justice, certainly within those areas. And although this is initially limited to non-American citizens, in other words, people who are here legally or illegally, they might have a green card, something of that sort, why they would no longer have the right of habeas corpus, and there would be no appeal to the courts on this. In other words, it specifically limits the ability of the courts to intervene. But what is really rather frightening about this is that, say you are an American citizen, and you were arrested under the Military Commission Act for whatever that might be, and then, of course, you would like to appeal to the courts to say that, well, I'm a citizen, I have the right to habeas corpus, but the courts cannot intervene. And of course, we saw this with a man named Padilla, who's been held for over three more years, and he can't get into court, really. Of course, he held off and held off and held off, and they took away his right of habeas corpus because he was a suspected enemy combatant, even though he was an American citizen. So it seems like there's a great disregard for the law and the current administration. Would that be a fair appraisal, John?
Well, I would concur, but I think some would argue that it's changing the law. Of course, in the end, what I argue is that this designation of alien should not be something that allows us to abandon our Christian standards, which are really what should be guiding us. But I think very much that's the case, and there's nothing in here to provide for a safety valve for people who are detained and claim U.S. citizenship. there are no provisions that really where you can contest whether you're an alien or not. So it seems to, by its terms, exclude Americans, and yet there are these gaping holes. And at the same token, Lindsey Graham and John McCain and others hailed this legislation as being a great step forward and something we could be proud of. But it actually even loosened further the definition of unlawful enemy combatant, even beyond the normal warfare terminology, and it still leaves as classified the methods used for torture. So it seems to me that either it could be used as it is to oppress Americans or to penalize Americans, or with very little change, this same kind of mechanism could be put in place to be used against American citizens. In either event, once we abandon our U.S. Constitution, we're abandoning those inalienable rights that we say that we hold for all, justice and freedom for all. And here we are codifying in our law that we very, very clearly do make some distinctions, and we do differentiate between people, and we are abandoning our standards as Christians when we do this.
Well, now, my understanding is that there's some sort of a clause in this legislation that says if you were guilty of torturing people before this law was passed, you have retroactive, protection. So if you simply were carrying out the government's instructions before they legalized torture, then you're covered. What about that?
Well, I actually spent about an hour this evening trying to find that exact provision in the Act, and I'm not... I think I was looking too much in the John Warner Act, so I'm still digging on that one, and I'll get back to you. However, what I'm not sure about is whether that's actually codified in this legislation or if that's something that the administration has tried to do through executive order or another initiative. But I have certainly read a lot of literature that the government is trying to do that. That would be unconstitutional against the ex post facto provisions of the U.S. Constitution. That's what tyrants do. That's what Stalins and Hitlers do, try to retroactively pass laws to liberate themselves. So whether it's in this act or otherwise being sought by this administration, it's another telltale sign that this government doesn't know the restraints of the rule of law. And in fact, this legislation came about because Bush and company were very clearly pushing to have almost unlimited power to torture people. That's really what it was. Unlimited power to detain them, and they were assumed guilty until proven innocent. So they were thwarting the normal, even military tribunal laws. So it's really just one more telltale sign of how far this administration will go.
Well, one of the things that really disturbs me, John, more than anything else, is that there has not been, to my knowledge, one major Christian leader in this country who's spoken out against this current administration's use of torture. And it's almost as if it's all right to torture people. After all, we're in a war, and it's all right to torture them because they're bad people, and so we should have the right to torture them. Guilty or innocent, doesn't really matter. We'll just torture them until they confess. And where is the outcry from our Christian leaders? Where is the outcry from the average Christian who could be calling into our programs all across the country and expressing concern about this?
Well, you know I agree with you, and that's why I wrote the book that I've written called Christian Words, Unchristian Actions, which I will reference now for your listeners, because it contains a chapter on the use of torture by America and also a chapter on the war in Iraq. And I would argue that the standard should be what would Christ expect of us as Christians. And we call ourselves a Christian nation. Are we adhering to those standards? Because we really have not had that moral debate in this country. And we cannot defer that moral debate forever, because we will answer to our God, and we are already answering to the rest of the world for it, even though we try to stick our heads in the sand. The use of torture is not permissible for Christians. It's not really been institutionalized in our history that I'm aware of. And the war in Iraq also does not comply with Christ's teachings. So we see George Bush, we hear him saying that the U.S. Constitution is just a goddamn piece of paper, quote unquote. That doesn't concern me as much, because the U.S. Constitution is man-made and has some flaws. But to the extent that it incorporates God's inalienable laws, that higher authority, which is God, then to trample on those laws is to trample on God, and He is our highest authority. So I'm really more concerned about George Bush's denigration of the Bible that he says he follows. And his actions show consistently that he'll talk one thing, but he'll do another. And we see this again in these latest pieces of legislation.
And there's no question at all that there's certainly the hierarchy of our current government, including Donald Rumsfeld and certainly the Attorney General, authorized torture. And, of course, it was carried out by the people at the lower levels. They, of course, a few sergeants and a corporal and some PFCs were tried and convicted of it, but they were simply carrying out their orders. They were told to do this, not only by their superiors, but apparently by CIA and even private contractors who are working in the Abu Ghraib prison. And it's all to focus their attention on these wicked people who are carrying out their orders, rather than on the people who gave the orders and the people who authorized it. And this is official government policy. It's all right to torture people, but if it's all right to torture Iraqis who may have just been picked up on a standard sweep, but they might be terrorists, what would be to prevent this exactly the same immoral philosophy, what would be there to prevent that from being used on Americans in this country if they declare martial law? And if they're not planning on it, why did they pass these two pieces of legislation that has caused even liberal Senator Patrick Leahy to say, this is a blueprint, this actually encourages the president to declare martial law in the United States?
Well, and the reason he said that particularly is because the John Warner Act is really, really broadens the executive powers of this president tremendously. And it's very vague. It's very unclear. It really gives him carte blanche to declare an emergency and use not just our National Guard, but the Marines, the Air Force, all of the armed forces in states to quell or suppress violence or conspiracy, domestic violence, insurrection. It's very broad. It could really be applied easily to political activism or groups who are objecting to the war, etc. I believe that if not in the statute, that it has been specifically said outside of by the administration and others that conspiracy believers are terrorists. It's a very short step.
In fact, we even have up on my webpage a copy of a brochure that was circulated in Phoenix, Arizona, by the FBI office there, their task force on terrorism, and you can read it on my webpage at RadioLiberty.com, where they define what a terrorist is, and they're people who talk about the Constitution. People who talk about the Constitution, people who believe, that these may be the end times. That's, of course, how you can identify a terrorist. Now, in 1999, they knew full well about the Islamic terrorists in this country. They'd been tracking them for a number of years, all the FBI offices had. Not one word in this brochure about Islamic terrorism. But they were talking about people, who talked about the Constitution and had radical Christian beliefs. And so I really think we have to question why they want this legislation for the United States. This is not for, primarily for Iraq, it's for the United States. And, of course, in the case of an epidemic, in the case of, civil disruption, in the case of really any sort of a disaster, that these laws could be invoked. And the idea of using the military against our civilians, the military should never be used against civilians. The purpose of the military is to kill people. That's what the military is all about. You learn how to kill people and destroy things. And that's how you defeat the enemy. You want to have the police taking care of the local community, not bring the military in. And so why is the president so intent upon getting this legislation through? And this, I think, every American should ask, what is this really all about? Tremendous pressure was put through to get this through. It was done very quietly. Most Americans did not even realize the legislation was being debated until it was already passed. What do they know that we do not know? And if you're out there in the listening audience, you're saying that sounds like a conspiracy theorist, I suggest you go to the Internet and on Google type in Halliburton, $385 million, detention camps, and you'll find out that they've given Halliburton $385 million to build detention camps, not in Iraq, not in Afghanistan, right here in the United States. Is that conspiracy or is that fact? And, is there really something to be concerned about? Some of the senators are concerned about it. You're just not hearing about it. We'll be back in just a moment with John Clark right here at Radio Liberty. Well, John, you picked the story up.
Well, I think the broader theme is that we have a clear act here where the federal government is dramatically strengthening its power and removing some of those protections we have through our governors and state government to control National Guard troops. And with one fell swoop of his pen, Mr. Bush is able to use our National Guard troops against us and actually push them around the country and use Vermont National Guard troops in Arizona and Alaska Guard troops in Alabama, et cetera, because we can see how local troops might otherwise have some reservations about firing on their own countrymen and in their own terrain. But when we couple it all together, it's pretty clear that an administration that would expand the federal military power to be used to against the citizens who might be claiming that their constitutional rights are violated or protesting, it seems that it's clearly that broad, or as you say, in the event of an emergency like another Katrina or a flu infestation, let's say, how quickly would that government use the military commissions against us? It's willing to use weapons and firearms of our children against us. How long do we think it would take them to pass another quick piece of legislation that we never saw coming that expands the Military Commissions Act to U.S. citizens? It would be very, very easy. It's already set up and implemented. And when we combine it with No Child Left Behind, which pretends to be teaching our children more, but in fact registers them all in a database for military service, which my sons have recently opted out of. You can do that if people aren't aware of that. The No Child Left Behind Act also documents where all of those kids are, and it mandates military recruitment on our nation's high schools. These are not necessarily, I wouldn't think, priorities for educating our children. They seem to be prioritizing for industrializing and institutionalizing our children to be good little worker bees in this government. So we really see, out of the chaos of the threat of terrorism, which you're quite right, this government has done a great deal to encourage over the last decades, we see now we're being offered the solution of the government's going to save us. Even however many times it's proven to us that it can't be trusted, it's now asking us to trust it as it dramatically expands its power over us. Bush will now decide who's an enemy combatant. He decides what's torture. He decides whether you can talk about it or not. He decided that the military tribunals comply with the Geneva Convention. That's one of its terms. It says that whatever they do does comply with the law. That's very much bootstrapping. He decides when there's a major public emergency, when to end a major public emergency. He decides when the states have failed to protect us so that the federal government needs to come protect us because the states have failed. And under the USA Patriot Act, he can suspend elections and impose martial law. We see the New World Order coming, unfolding right before us. And the reason that the patriots and the Christian patriots in this country are a threat to this federal government is because they want to follow the higher authority of God, the authority that says that we don't torture people, that Christians are torturees, not torturers, that we don't wage unjust wars, and that our loyalty is there first. That's an implicit conflict with a worldly government that is passing laws and policies that are exactly contrary to God's law. So that's why the conflict is heating up, and we Americans, especially Christians, must choose, and it is appalling that there is not an outcry in this country by America's Christians over what's happening by people who call themselves Christian. They're not following Christ's teachings at all, and they're ignoring God's teachings.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I think that, you know, certainly the founding fathers of America feared government. They feared power. They felt that power would be misused. They felt that men were corrupt and were evil. Never give them power. That's why they put the chains onto government and took them off of the people. Seems we're reversing that. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is John Clark, and we're really talking about the two new pieces of legislation. One, of course, is the Military Commissions Act, which establishes military commissions, certainly not only in other countries, but right here in the United States, if there's any sort of an emergency. And the emergency will be declared by the centralized government. In other words, should there be a epidemic? Should there be some sort of a disaster? Should there be civil unrest here in the United States? The president unilaterally can declare a disaster. Not only that, but he can actually take the National Guard troops from a state without the permission of the governor. This has never been allowed before. The state guard, the National Guard, was under the control of the governor. And, you know, ordinarily, if the president would ask for those troops, he could have them, but You know, certainly now we've certainly bypassed the governor, and we've centralized all power with Washington, D.C. And people say, well, that would never be misused. They would never use the troops against the American people. Well, if that is true, then why did they pass the military, the John Warner National Defense Appropriations Act, which allows them to use the troops against the American citizens? In total, we've done away with the posse comitatus law. We've done away with the right of habeas corpus as far as non-citizens are concerned. Even if you're here in this country legally, you no longer have the right of habeas corpus. But the most frightening part of the initial act, and that was the Military Commissions Act, is you no longer have the right to appeal to the courts. And if you are an American citizen, and the military commission says you have no right to habeas corpus, how do you prove you're an American citizen if the court is taken out of the loop? That is the issue. And it specifically stipulates that no court in this land can intervene with the decisions that have been made under this act. And this is rather frightening. And then Chris John's point is, as Christians, I mean, should we be concerned about torture? As Christians, could we be concerned about this centralization of power? As Christians, should we be concerned by the fact that they keep telling us, oh, it was just a terrible mistake with this, all everything going so bad over there in Iraq? Ladies and gentlemen, somebody is responsible. I mean, when you've got hundreds of thousands of people dead in Iraq, somebody is responsible, and somebody has to be held responsible for it. And yet, of course, the American citizens, as long as times are good, they don't seem to be too involved or too concerned, do they, John? Have they sort of forgotten about our obligation to be true to our God rather than to our government?
Well, I think we're repeating the story of Israel and Judah. And I think that American citizens, as God teaches us, that we can be held responsible for the sins of our rulers. I think ultimately what I argue in the book isn't just about George Bush, it's about we as Americans. What will we say to God? Will we answer for our support of war? Are we praying in our churches for the civilian victims in Iraq as a consequence of our military action that many Christians have supported? Interestingly, you point out the expansion of federal power. An interesting thought I had about the John Warner National Defense Authorization Act is that it allows Mr. Bush to have sort of expanded martial law powers without having to declare martial law. He can basically appropriate to himself all of the powers that affords and not undergo the kind of scrutiny he might undergo. So it's interesting that fills that niche. But there's another thing here, too, which is that we see a pattern. We see a government that after 9/11 and the tragedy of 9/11 used that to justify a war in Iraq that had nothing to do with 9/11, and it actually probably was counterproductive and has increased the number of Muslim extremists who hate our country. And then after he tortured people and used Alberto Gonzalez and some legal hijinks to implement torture and abandon our Constitution and God's laws, when he got caught, which he was so miffed about, he blamed it on our troops. That's a desecration of our troops, to blame them as a few bad apples when they were carrying out orders. And now we see this law, this has largely been a response to Katrina, where the government failed horribly to rescue people and yet saw its limitations in having more power in the circumstances. So it used a situation that was a failure and a tragedy to expand its power once again. These are telltale signs that Paul and Jesus both told us about, that we would see as Christians, that we would know them by their actions and their fruit, not their empty words.
And I really think, of course, that we're involved in a spiritual battle. And I think the Christians are being called to do what's right, and there is absolutely no response from our Christian leaders. But even worse than that, there's no response from our Christian listeners and the Christian citizens of America. And men and women, are certainly responsible for what our country does. And men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. We'll be back in just a moment with John Clark here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is John Clark, and John is an attorney who had been quite ill for some time. And, of course, nobody could really help him. He crawled up. Well, why don't you just briefly tell that story of how it was that you came to be a Christian some years ago?
Well, I thank you for the opportunity to testify. I will try to make a parallel with our current plight as Americans, too. I spent my life without any faith. I was not raised in any church. Frankly, I had come to reject Christianity. And in my mid-30s, I became inexplicably extremely ill with something subsequently diagnosed as being fibromyalgia syndrome, which I wasn't very familiar with. But being a large man, it affected my muscles, and I went just horribly painful. Eventually, it was concluded that that was caused by Lyme disease. I've been on antibiotics for nearly 5 years on and off now, intensive oral antibiotic therapy, and I've had tremendous improvement. But through the course of that illness, I lost everything that I thought had value in this world, my business, my money, my ability to protect and provide for my family. And laying there on the floor, unable to get up, in agony and pain and tears, I started to pray. And that was the beginning of a journey that led me to Christ and my salvation, and it's well worth the pain and suffering, which I couldn't have seen that at the time, but Romans 8:28-29 is my constant reminder that this pain that I still deal with is worth it. And the parallel is, when we ask God to bless America, would we be asking Him to visit His wrath upon us, if necessary, to correct us as an errant child? Was Israel not blessed when it was corrected and brought up wrong and punished so that it could come back to its God? That's what it took for me as an individual to recognize a higher power in my life. Perhaps that's what it's going to take us as Americans and as American Christians to recognize God and put Him first again, is a similar kind of trauma. So I hope it's all right that I make that parallel, but I think it's through hardship and suffering that God brings us closer to Him and prepares us for greater suffering in the future so that we can be more useful to Him.
And I certainly agree with you, and I think that probably I have no question in my mind that terrible, terrible things lie ahead for this country. And I hate to say that, but it may be the best thing possible that could happen. Because until our country is suffering, until our affluence is gone, until our ability to actually be the person of the country that's directing the course of the world is gone, until each one of us has to begin looking at, to God, for hope, because we will be living in a nation without hope. Only then will people really begin looking just for salvation. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening is John Clark, and John was sharing, of course, how he came to know the Lord with us during the break, and was talking about how he had, as a successful attorney, he had no faith in God, and was very prosperous, doing very well, and then, of course, he comes down with this terrible illness, and he's totally incapacitated, and can't even get off the floor, can't do anything at all, and he cries out to God, and God at least has brought him partway back to health, although he's not completely well yet, and yet he realizes that without this terrible affliction, he would never have found our Lord. And now, of course, he's written a wonderful book. And John, I'd like you to tell our listeners your website, how they can get your book, and what the basic theme of your book is.
Well, thank you. My website is www.christianwords.us, and the book can be purchased directly from my Christian publisher at 877-421-7323. I'll give both of those again in a moment. But the book, in sum, is meant to be a guide to bring people in American, in this craziness of modern America, back to putting Christ first. Not the Democrats, not the Republicans, not George W. Bush, and not you or me, because Jesus has plenty to say for Himself, and too many Americans are woefully uninformed about their Bible, and we all should be struggling to hear God's Word that's there for us. And so the book is there to include a lot of information, some biblical, some secular, some from other great Christian leaders like C.S. Lewis and G.K. Chesterton and Oswald Chambers, whom I'm very fond of, and many others. But ultimately, it is asking America how we call ourselves a Christian nation when we are bringing war and torture to the world, but also pedophilia and materialism and homosexuality and all the things that are becoming our trademarks. We really need to take a hard look at our country and our lives and our social deterioration and decide who's ruling us. Because right now we look like a really fat camel trying to get through a needle.
The thing is that today, why America is the largest exporter of pornography in the world, we're forcing our television and our sitcoms and our vulgarity and our immorality and our scantily clad women and this idea that when you meet somebody, you immediately hop into bed with them. We're putting that on television all over the world in an organized effort to corrupt the morals of people in other nations who do have much higher moral standards. But it's very easy to corrupt people, especially when they're suffering, and television is so entertaining and so drawing, and it has such a profound impact on the minds, not only the people of this country, but all throughout the world as we spread an immoral concept of once we were a Christian nation. But you would never know it from American television. You would never know it from what is going on in Iraq today. As in the name of going there to, of course, to protect America from a wicked Saddam Hussein was going to attack us at any time, and this was all about terrorism. And ladies and gentlemen, it was never about terrorism. If there was really a terrorist threat, why haven't they sealed our borders? If there's really a terrorist threat, why do they still have the catch and release program down on the border where you catch somebody from a terrorist nation and you immediately release them and tell them to come back for a deportation hearing, knowing that they're never going to come back? And if there's really a terrorist threat, why is it we haven't had any major attacks on America in over 5 years? Or is this all simply contrived to justify the war in the Middle East and the American people are going along with it? Is all of this really contrived to justify the Military Commission Act and the John Warner National Defense Appropriations Act, these new pieces of legislation that were passed really literally in the middle of the night with little knowledge on the part of the American people and only a few liberal senators speaking out against it, because everybody in the Republican Party was backing the Christian administration that is moving to centralize all power in Washington, D.C. To defend us against, well, we're not sure what they're defending us against. Against the bird flu epidemic? Against some new terrible epidemic that may would create terrible havoc in our country? Against civilian unrest that may come when we have no jobs in America because we're moving into an economic slowdown and, in all probability, certainly a recession, if not a frank depression and disruption of our economy, or certainly a national disaster of some sort? In fact, if you go back and read Zygmunt Brzezinski in his book, Between Two Ages, back in 1970, he's talking about how we're going to be able to create storms and droughts. If you don't believe that, we'd be glad to send you the pages from his book. We're going to be able to create storms and droughts and, oh yes, chronic diseases to disable the enemy. He's talking in 1970 about being able to create chronic diseases, and a decade later, we had our first cases of chronic fatigue, and Lyme, and fibromyalgia, and AIDS, and did that happen by accident? Well, our guest is John Clark, and we're talking certainly about these pieces of legislation that have such a profound impact, or potentially a profound impact, on the lives of the American people. And people like to say, well, but these would never be used in America. And I would like to suggest if they're never going to be used, why pass them? Why simply repeal the Posse Comitatus Act that has stood in us in such good stead for so many years? And if you're not planning on using the troops on American citizens, why would you repeal the Posse Comitatus Act so that you could use the troops against American citizens? Have you heard people really talking about this, John, as you certainly evaluate what's going on? There seems to be such a lethargy on the part of our people.
Well, there is, and that's why I try to contribute to programs like yours and others, because I see a growing alternative press that some people are listening to, and I try to alert others to it. But outside of the Internet, where you see quite a buzz about these pieces of legislation amongst those people who are very concerned and active, I hear almost nothing. And part of it is that many Americans are just not aware of what's been taken away. They weren't aware of the importance of those protections, and so they're not aware of when they're removed. They also trust their government, and they also feel powerless. And all of these things are being used to enslave us. And we really can look at the Bible because God gives us guidance. He gives us guidance about morality and immorality and what His plan is. When we hear about anthrax and dirty bombs and nukes and weapons of mass destruction and terrorists at all of our borders, what are we hearing? We're hearing fear-mongering by Cheney and Bush, even Colin Powell sold out. Oh, everybody, be very, very afraid. Very different from our forefathers or from World War II or from Ben Franklin, who said he who would trade his liberty for security deserves neither. But what about our real founding father, God, and his son? Out of this fear and chaos that is being created, it is being created in this worldly battle, will come order. And we can choose either the new world order of George Bush and his lying cronies, or we can choose the order that God offers us. Because God gives us, through his word and through his promise, the only order to the chaos that we see unfolding.
And I think that's really so well said. You know, our reality in many respects is what we see on television. Now, how many programs, and I'm speaking now to the audience as a whole, how many programs on terrorist threats and when the terrorist is going to blow up something or explode a bomb or put rice into the water supply, how many programs have you seen like this on television creating your reality and creating the fear in your heart that we're going to be got by the terrorists? You see, they don't actually have to have a terrorist attack. They can create the same perception by using television. And day after day, week after week, month after month, we see these programs always about the terrorist threat to America with a sinister-looking Islamic guy who's a part of some terrorist cell that's going to, of course, destroy Washington, D.C. or New York or something else. And so we really don't have to have the violence. We create the perception of the violence, and the figures we see on television become our reality. Have you noticed that, John, how they keep talking and talking and talking and talking and talking about, oh, the threat of bird flu? Less than 300 people have died it's been around since 1958. Less than 300 people have died, and yet, of course, we have to mobilize the entire world against influenza because it might just mutate but is this a real threat or is this something that is totally created to justify these laws so that they can declare a martial law in case, in cases of epidemic of any sort. And the American people, almost as if we have confidence in our government leaders. Our founding fathers had no confidence in government. That's why they limited the power of the central authority, because they realized that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And as one person said, absolute power corrupts absolutely everyone. And you give people power, they will use it. And when we see the mess that they've made in the Middle East today, do we really want them to give them the ability to use that same sort of power here in the United States? And why do they want to use the military to control the people? That's what the police are for. Why do they and so intent upon using the military against the American citizens and being able to take the National Guard away from the state governor's control? That to me was one of the most frightening things. That completely does away with this whole concept of federalism, doesn't it, John?
Well, it does, except we could call the new concept of federal tyranny. The answer is it's what I would call watch the birdie syndrome. The creation of fear is used to control populations. It's been used before. It was used by Hitler. It's been used throughout history, and it's being used by our government. And it's been used for quite some time now. And really, they're keeping our attention away from the disasters we're walking into because corporate America is now dominating our country and our morality. The corporate creed is the bottom line, maximization of return to shareholders. If it means more pollution and more children in foreign countries born with spinal bifida, so be it. If you can put a dollar sign on it, that's the morality. That is the equation. And that's the sum total of what our nation has become. And we don't want to acknowledge that. So we pretend to be moral. We pretend to be the world's liberators while we're just the opposite. And we can't imagine why Muslims wouldn't want to accept our way of life when they don't want our TV and our porno and everything they see from us. They have lived a very, very devout life, whether or not we respect their religion. It makes ours look pretty hedonistic. And so what we see, though, is we see Satan's favorite tools being fear and the cloak of Christianity once again to be used to lead people into slavery. And what the government knows, you say, why would they use the military? What do they know? Well, they know that our currency is a fiat currency, that our currency, that we've been in so much debt through our profligacy for about 25 years that they've been finding one bootstrap after another to pull to get a few more inches out of our economy before it has its inevitable tank. The housing market is declining. They've stopped reporting a lot of the money supply figures. We have spent more on this war now than we've spent on Vietnam, even after adjusting for inflation. We don't have the money to pay all the Social Security benefits promised, to pay for everybody to turn 98 years old and have $300,000 worth of surgery. And we are not confronting the dead ends facing us all around. Instead, we keep people distracted. If it's not a Cold War, it's a war against evil. That one should last a good long time, the war against evil. And God tells us very specifically not to follow into this trap, not to be fearful. And we couldn't be, as Christians, we couldn't succumb to this kind of dominance and control over our lives if we had not abandoned our God. And that's what we've done as Christians in this nation. And it's Christians who should be the leaders of being fearless in the face of these kinds of threats. Instead, the religious right seems to be leading us headlong into the use of torture and all kinds of atrocities without apparently any moral reflection by our religious leaders or by us as Christians. And God's not happy. And that's why he has us talking, so that hopefully people will listen to his word.
And of course, I think, of course, the majority of the people in this country at least acknowledge that there is a God. There are people out there who are not the Christians, of course, but they have to understand that the foundation of this country was built upon Christian principles that said you cannot trust government and you cannot trust men. So as Thomas Jefferson said, in matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief with the chains of the Constitution. And he was simply echoing what John Locke had said, you know, a century before. That government governs best, it governs the least. And look and see what's going on in America today. George Bush's No Child Left Behind legislation wasn't his legislation, it was Ted Kennedy's legislation. Liberal Senator Ted Kennedy had been trying to get that legislation through for a couple of decades. He couldn't get it through. So his friend George Bush got it through. And if you don't believe that these people worked very, very closely together, why, of course, you can go up on the Internet and check what I'm saying, or I'll document it for any of our listeners. In the year 2003, the Bush Family Foundation, made up of George Herbert Walker Bush and Jeb and, of course, George W. Bush, gave the award for the Man of the Year, the Citizen of the Year, to none other than Senator Edward Kennedy, who's one of those radical liberals there in Washington, D.C., but he couldn't get his legislation through. He could not get the Medicare drug legislation through. The Republicans got it through for him. The idea that we have a two-party system is simply for the naive and the unsophisticated. The truth of the matter is we have a one-party system with two branches, and every 4 years we can throw the scoundrels out. We feel so much better, as if something's really going to change. But nothing changes. We continue along this path towards the destruction of the morality of our nation. We continue with our abortion. The Republicans in 6 years didn't change anything with abortion. And they could have. They could have made a profound change. All they had to do was pass the legislation on partial birth abortion and put it right around to it, say the courts can't intervene. George Bush did that with his Military Commission Act. But he sure didn't ask him to do it with the Partial Birth Abortion Act, and so they're still killing children. They could have done the same thing with abortion. It's all showbiz, and until the American people understand that, nothing is going to change. Not until the people really begin to value their freedom. But perhaps they won't value it until it's gone, because, as Thomas Paine had said so well, that tyranny like hell is not easily defeated.
Well, and William Penn said, men don't need government, government needs men, pointing out that government is supposed to serve us, and we see it repeating the age-old process of whatever form of government, communist, republic, whatever, growing larger and larger until it consumes the foundation for its existence. Who works for who in today's America? And when we look at the founding fathers, they very much saw this risk. They saw these natural forces. They saw that this corruption would naturally, eventually compromise those structures of government, even with the balance of powers. And if we look at our Holy Father, God also foresaw that this would happen. And as we allowed the corporate creed, the greed creed that is dominating America today to rule us, that we would fail on our own and without his guidance.
And of course, another thing that William Penn said was that those who will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants. Those who will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants. Let's get your website out again and how people can get your book, John.
Yes, thank you, Doctor. The website is www.christianwords.us. Christianwords is one word, .us. And the book is available, again, through Amazon.com and other traditional book sellers, but also through the Christian publisher at 877-421-7323.
And again, one more time, that telephone number.
877-421-7323.
And the book is Christian Words and Christian Actions.
Yes, sir.
All right, fine, John. You got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, there's so much to say. But the bottom line is that Americans say they believe in God. The question is, do they believe God? It's not enough to just believe that he's going to meet me at the pearly gates. That's just too trite, and we're here for something more. So when we look to God, then he tells us not to be fearful in these end times. He tells us that God will punish our enemies. God is the one who will torment or torture those as punishment for turning away from him, and it's not our place. And in fact, Christians are often tortured in defense of the faith. So we should be very, very suspicious when we see a nation calling itself Christian implementing torture and initiating wars in the name of defending itself, because we see a pattern that we were warned about it by Christ and by Paul, that those who would come, who would pretend to be Christians, but whose actions would show otherwise. And that's what, unfortunately, we see dominating American politics today.
I certainly agree with you, and I think it's so important that people understand that we were a Christian nation. We're no longer a Christian nation, and God is going to bring his judgment on this nation, and somebody's going to be out there telling the people what lies ahead. And as John was saying, we are basically facing, you know, the collapse of our society, because the stability of a society is dependent upon the stability of the currency. If you're watching what's happening with the dollar, it's really beginning to start its long-awaited plunge, you know. We have nothing behind this. We certainly have a totally fiat currency. And we're having to borrow $3 billion a day from other countries just so we can continue our outlandish activities. And we're acting as the bully of the world. We have troops stationed in 130 nations today. We are occupying Germany 60 years after the war ended. We're occupying Japan 60 years after the war ended. We're occupying Korea 50 years after the war ended. Is there anybody in the listening audience who honestly believes that we have any intention of leaving Iraq? Oh, they talk about, oh, we're going to pull our troops out. Ladies and gentlemen, we may pull some troops out, but we're going to keep a military presence there. This is the long-range plan to bring about a one-world government, but unfortunately, that one-world government is going to be ruled, in my estimation, by the Antichrist, and this is what is energizing the people who are controlling America today as we move away from freedom towards a fascist society. Our guest has been John Clark. It's always a pleasure to have you with us, John. Thank you so very much for being with us, and I look forward to having you on our other programs again to cover the same material. We need to get the people to understand the implications of the Military Commission Act and the implications of the John Warner National Defense Appropriations Act. Good night. God bless you.
God bless you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Johnny, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Why don't you just once again give out the name of your book and, of course, the website for our listeners.
Well, the name of the book is Christian Words, Unchristian Actions, George W. Bush and the Desecration of Christianity in Modern America.
And of course, it's really not just simply an attack on the Bush. It's an attack on our entire society, on our Christian leaders who are refusing to speak out against what's going on, are refusing to be critical of torture. How could Jesus Christ justify this? How could God justify this? And I don't believe that either the two major characters in Trinity could. I believe, of course, that we are leaving America open for terrible, terrible punishment. God bless you, John. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
Good night. All right, fine. Well, I do hope our listeners will want to, of course, learn more about America and its Christian heritage and how we're losing it. Certainly, we have a wonderful book. It's called Original Intent. It's written by David Barton. It gives you the whole background of what's going on. And then, of course, the book Betrayed by Bench by John Stormer is on what the Supreme Court is doing. But none of the books out there that you're going to read, other than the book that I have, there's one other book, I think, but it's out of print. It's been out of print for some time and no longer available. But the one book that will tell you why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools is my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you have not read it, you need to. Brotherhood of Darkness, it's an easy book to read, and of course you can get it by itself, or you can get it along with the video or the audio tape or the DVD is Brotherhood of Darkness special, but you need to get it. You need to understand why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools. They knew it was going to happen. They knew it was going to lead to moral anarchy. They understood full well that it would lead to the breakdown of the moral structure of this society. And that's why back in 1962, why they passed the legislation that outlawed God and prayer. And of course, this was one reason for the Vietnam War, was to keep our attention distracted of what was going on in Vietnam. As they changed America, they found women had a right to destroy the child in her womb, which of course then began to justify promiscuity, and they began to centralize all power in Washington, D.C. They began to change our immigration laws, which leads us to where we are today. See, we're dealing with people who deal not in from year to year, but decade to decade, from millennium to millennium, because behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces. And the major target for what's going on today is the United States of America. You need to read, of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. You need to read, certainly, the book we carry by Malachi Martin, Hostage to the Devil. That's Hostage to the Devil. You need to get our, book, The Diary of a Devil Hunter. You need to get our four tapes. That's on the supernatural, because we're dealing with supernatural forces. You need to, of course, get our video. They sold their souls for rock and roll, available in DVD or video. You need to understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle for souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And Christian civilization, in all probability, will be destroyed within our lifetime, unless, of course, there's another great moral awakening, like the First Great Awakening and the Second Great Awakening. But I don't see any leadership out across America. In fact, most of our Christian leaders have just signed a declaration, on the basis of their faith, and our faith will be, of course, correspond to the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. The United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. Why would anybody, any Christian, want to tie anything having to do with Christianity to the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights? Well, I think we've got real problems in America. We hope many of you will give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Go to our webpage at radioliberty.com. You can certainly read our newsletters there for nothing. You can certainly listen to our programs on the Internet 5 hours a day, directly or indirectly. And then please pray for America, pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guests. And, well, today, our second hour, our special guest is Patrick Wood of the August Review. That's Patrick Wood of the August Review, and Patrick's been at this game for a long time, certainly during the 1970s, the latter part of the 1970s. He worked with my good friend Anthony Sutton, who had been there at Hoover Institute, had been a scholar there at Hoover Institute. He was really forced out because he was trying to bring out the truth about the establishment, the power establishment that rules America, and of course the fact that, really going back to the time of the Russian Revolution, people in the United States and the Federal Reserve Bank and our corporations had been financing the Soviet Union, creating the best enemy money could buy, to rally the people behind the people in Washington, D.C., and then, of course, the formation of the Trilateral Commission, which, of course, is the organization that really supersedes the Council on Foreign Relations and the other basic organizations that are working towards government rule, towards a small clique ruling the world, and really using this power, a tremendous power, taking over, as Barry Goldwater said, taking over the financial and commercial interests of the world by first seizing control of the American government. And they controlled the American government, and of course Patrick had written a book back in the late 1970s along with a Professor Sutton entitled Trilateralists Over Washington, D.C. It's still a classic, and you can get that up on his webpage. But without further ado, Patrick Wood, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, good evening, Dr. Stan. Glad to be here with you as well.
Tell us now, Chris, what are the latest things you'd like to bring to our listeners? Because there's so much going on today.
Well, I know. There really is, Dr. Stan. It's like trying to ride out a tsunami in a rowboat. You know, as things are coming fast and furious, just about anywhere you look, it's absolutely amazing. I would probably share that I get the question a lot from my readers, and even when I'm speaking on doing public speaking engagements or if I'm on a radio show, people routinely ask, what can I do? You know, in light of all this stuff that is coming at us, what can I do? And this has been a really hard question to answer because there haven't been a lot of things to do. I mean, it's pointless to write letters to congressmen. They don't listen to you, or senators. Much less any other elected official, except that you elect them out of office. They're pretty impervious to any request from the public on anything. You can't, file lawsuits in particular because it's too expensive to hire attorneys and stuff to sue these people over what they're doing to us. It's a very difficult question, Dr. Stan, and I've been a little bit down in the mouth about this over the last few months. That, well, what is there? What can people do? I'm not going to answer this tonight in particular, but I do want to share with you there are a couple of rays of hopes from around the country, mostly oddly enough coming from the agricultural community in our country, ranchers and farmers who interestingly were of the people that founded our country well over 200 years ago. They were the agrarian society, if you will, of this country. And there does seem to be some mounting organized resistance right now in against globalism in our country.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Patrick is talking about, he sees a rays of hope within certainly the farmers and other people in the more rural areas of our nation, realizing, of course, that globalism is going to destroy the very fabric of our society. That's what it's designed to do. It's designed to lower the living standards of our farmers and of our workers and of our professional people, lowering the living standards of the entire middle class, and so we will, with exception, of course, of the bureaucracy, the military, and the and government officials, will be well paid for, of course, their willingness to oppress the rest of us. But, of course, if you're in the ruling class, why, you will do what you're told so you can maintain all the benefits that you have, and that we're moving towards a two-tiered society. But tell us about the rays of hope that you're seeing.
Well, this is just a slight ray, I have to say, but it's really a pleasure to see. I went to a couple of conferences this month, it's a pleasure to see at one time more than 100, 200 people gathered together from all over America to actively discuss strategies on how to counter this. Now, I appreciate the work that you've done over the years, for instance, and it's a wonderful thing, but we talked one time about, well, what we need is 1,000 of you around the country, or maybe 10,000 of you like you, to stand up and tell it like it is. Well, I've kind of been a loner at this for many, many years, and most of the people I know that are dealing with these issues have also been, tend to be loners. But it's good to see that there's some groups of people now that are starting to wake up to this and starting to actually take action. And of course, the farmers and ranchers in our country are under tremendous pressure from globalism. And, they're being attacked on many, many fronts. Not property rights is one. Their farms are being bought up and, locked away in land trust and conservation easements and stuff that are designed to take their property out of production. They're under pressure from the companies, the seed companies like Monsanto, ConAgra, and so on, that are locking them into contracts that force them to take less money for their crops. Family farmers are going out of business at record rates right now. It's just absolutely amazing. So the ranchers and the farmers in America are wising up to what's going on very quickly. They're thinking very clearly on this, and I don't know where this is going, Dr. Stan, but it's good to see that somebody out there has their head screwed on more or less the way we do, that are standing up and saying, look, this has to
stop. Hold that thought right there, Patrick.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Patrick is simply saying he's been to a couple of meetings here this last month with people from the agriculture, from the environmental movement, these various groups of farmers and people who own land, and they're very concerned about what's happening. Farms are being bought up and, of course, put into agricultural trust, been taken out of production. People do not understand that there is a major plan out there. And that plan involves actually transforming America from what it is, a productive society, to basically what it was before the wicked white man came. I was just reading an article today about this drive to bring the cheetahs back into the southeast. Now, there haven't been any cheetahs there probably in 4,000 or 5,000 years. But apparently there were some cheetahs there before. And they want to actually introduce cheetahs again, into the New Mexico, Arizona area. And what are they going to do? They're going to kill the livestock. That's all right. They're more concerned about the cheetah than they are about the livestock because they don't believe in livestock. They believe, of course, the cows trample down the little flowers and the grass and so would be better off without livestock and without horses. And you say, that's crazy talk.
Well, it is crazy talk, and this is one of the policies that is being used to discourage ranchers to get off of public land and to get out of business in general. And they're being forced to coexist with the mountain lions and the cougars and the wolves. They're not allowed to kill them, but they have to figure out other ways to coexist with them. It's absolutely an insane policy. Has no point whatsoever other than to drive the farmers off the land. The other thing, just an interesting point you bring it up, is that this whole rewilding process that's going on right now. The wilderness areas that are supposed to be for, our enjoyment and so on, we go out where it's quiet and there's no roads and there's no power and there's no, hotels and so on. This is supposed to be a trust for the American people, yet they're filling these wild lands up with grizzly bears and cougars and mountain lions and all these vicious animals, and it's like, who on earth would want to take a hike on foot into these, you know, massive wilderness areas that are being set aside with all these wild animals running around.
In fact, we may not even be able to go in before
long. I know. I wouldn't want to go out there in particular. I mean, if I carried a big handgun, maybe, but or a rifle.
They're not going to let you carry a handgun. You're not allowed to do that sort of thing because you might actually, you know, if you were being attacked, you might actually try to defend yourself.
Well, I know, and if you killed a grizzly bear and you don't have a license for it, you very well get thrown in jail for poaching. But that's just kind of a side note to, you got me off on that. It's good to see these ranchers and farmers banding together to make some kind of a common front. They don't have much power collectively in America because rural society is very much sustained by the global elite. But nevertheless, they're rising up. And it's interesting, this was the same crowd, Dr. Stan, that rose up at the founding of our country. They're the ones that stood up and sacrificed lives and sacrificed time, effort, money to make this a free, sovereign nation in the first place. These were the people.
Patrick, do you think they really understand the power elite? And, of course, their goal as far as globalization, which they're really using to centralize power in government and control the people. I mean, they're not interested in the lions and tigers and the daisies and the endangered species, but they're using this as a mechanism of control. Do the people that you are dealing with really understand there is a power elite that controls both political parties and intent upon absolute control over our lives?
I'll tell you what's interesting, Dr. Stan, is this is why I was invited to speak at these conferences for this very reason. The leadership of the conferences understood and accepted this reality, and they invited me to speak to their broader groups to explain it to them. Now, did they all pick up on it? I don't know. Interestingly, one of the conferences, a guy came up to me and says, "You're Patrick Wood, aren't you?" And I hadn't been introduced yet. And I said, "Well, yes, I am." And he was an older gentleman, probably in his, early 70s or so. But he said, "Well, you know, I was just reading your book the other day." And I thought, well, I wonder what, maybe he got it off the internet or something. He said, and he had one of our original books that was printed and mailed to him. He bought it back in 1978.
He was
rereading the book, Dr. Stan, and he said, "You know, I didn't know where you were. I knew you weren't in Scottsdale anymore, but I sent a check for $60 to buy some more books anyway, and it came back." So there are some people out there that are actually, that really do understand the issue. Of course, if there was 100, we need 100,000, but, if there's 100,000, we need a million.
Well, I think, of course, the thing is that back in the late 70s when you were writing your book, I know at that time I did not understand the spiritual forces that were energizing this, because it's one thing to realize that there really is an organization known as the Trilateral Commission, and it doesn't matter whether Republicans or Democrats are there, they are in control, and you certainly did a good job in covering that in one of your recent newsletters. Do you remember which newsletter that was?
Gosh, I don't.
Well, go to augustreview.com anyway, if you have your internet, ladies and gentlemen. And it's probably about 2 or 3 months ago. And in fact, I even used some of Patrick's material in my September newsletter, as he traces the power of the Trilateral Commission, through the successive administrations since starting with the Carter administration. In fact, you might be interested, Patrick, that I had taken some of your material and then I'd added something to it. And I was reading Howard Phillips' material that he puts out a newsletter every month, and a whole page of that was my newsletter.
Oh, all right.
Incorporated. So, but a lot of your information was in my newsletter. So,
excellent.
And so this is how we, of course, get the information out. Patrick comes up with it, and we, of course, we always give him certainly credit in our newsletter when we've taken information from his. And you'll do well to look at the augustreview.com website. Excellent material. But the thing is that as we get into the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, but then if we don't talk about the spiritual forces that energize them, then, of course, still a lot of it doesn't make sense, because how could these things be going on and nobody know about it unless there is a spiritual blindness on the part of our people, and they are really controlled by spiritual forces they really don't understand.
Exactly right. And this is the case all around the world, I think, today. We see the same blind ignorance in many parts of the world, not just in our country. And, you know, all of these people seem to be under the same kind of delusion. You know, they're doing things that are completely illogical and antithetical to the continuance of the human race. And, you know, if they had their eyes opened even halfway, they would cease and desist of many of the things they're doing immediately, because they realize that they would realize they're suicidal. In the end of it, the global elite cannot possibly do anything other than wreck the entire world and reduce the whole world into a state of civil war, much like what's going on in Iraq. And, you know, this is the end of the policies that these people are bringing about. And they may make their money for a time. They may indeed make a lot of money and be insulated, but there will come a time when all of the things they have done collectively will come back to bite them also.
Well, you were asking a little earlier, what can we do? I mean, how can we tend to, you know, certainly counter what's going on today? We're up against the most powerful and wealthiest and most evil people in the world.
Yes.
Working together in concert to bring about a new world order.
Yes.
And a new world religion. Of course, there will be a trinity of evil. There will be, as there's a trinity of good, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So I really believe there'll be Satan, there'll be the Antichrist, and the false prophet, and people don't understand that there really is a trinity of evil, and many of these people may well already be here, just waiting for the curtain to rise on the final act of this drama that is being, this cosmic drama that's being enacted. But, you know, the one thing that encourages me, Patrick, is I realize that things are going to get a lot worse.
Yes.
They're going to have to get worse before we're going to wake people up. So worse is really, in many respects, is better. The affluence that we have today neutralizes so many people. If we did not have the affluence, if people had to work and work hard, if our youth, kids had to work hard, you know, to get ahead, they would not, of course, be involved in so many of the things they're being involved in. And it may be the best thing in the world that we see is, as this whole thing begins to implode, maybe people will begin to understand the importance of the traditional things in life, like God and family and country. You know, we really live in a beautiful, beautiful nation. It's being destroyed because we're allowing it to be destroyed. We're losing our freedom because the people have forgotten the value of freedom.
Yes, it's really true. And it's unfortunate that the... just mentioning spiritual issues, it's unfortunate that the Christian community in America has not risen up in mass and you know, made a statement through all of these things. Even over the last 30 to 40 years, they've been virtually silent by and large, and the ones that have stood up have been, you know, pretty much misdirected. They sought to build political power rather than just tell the truth, and you know, as it is. And you know, we're certainly not to you know, we're not seekers of political power for the sake of political power, you know, like the global elite are, or like Republicans and Democrats are in political parties. But we certainly should be willing to stand up and tell the truth and pin the tail on the donkey, so to speak, when wrongdoing is underway. And you know, in this era of you know, being politically correct, people are cowards. They're just basically cowards to stand up and say what's on, you know, what they see with their own eyes.
Yeah, well, of course, if you do not do it, try to make cowards out of men. And of course, we cannot possibly preserve our freedom unless people are willing to be involved. Those who expect to have the benefits of freedom have to be willing to fight for it. But our fight is with ideas, not with guns.
That's right.
Well, Patrick, you picked the story up there.
Well, yeah, I know we could talk about this for a long time. There are some rays of hope in my mind. I'm glad to see that there are some other people around the country that are starting to pick it up and you know, and really start to question what's going on, and their eyes are getting opened. And I still have some measure of faith in the creativity of the American people, that if they have the truth in hand, that is the real truth in hand. That they will be creative in solutions as time goes on, and we'll see if there's, you know, what there is. But certainly we need to have men of courage and women of courage stand up and be able to, you know, to accurately and specifically point the finger and say, that, sir, is wrong. And until enough people can stand up and say that, there'll be no stopping, countering, or anything else of these people. And you know, if that leads someday to a Tiananmen Square where they have to run over a bunch of us, you know, I guess that's what's going to happen. But I would point out if one studies the story of John the Baptist in the New Testament, you'll find out very quickly he lost his head. He was beheaded, actually. That's how he died. And remember, he was the herald that heralded the coming or the immediate presence of Jesus Christ. And so he was the ambassador, if you will, the herald of the king. And he was the one that stood up and pointed at Herod and said, you, sir, are committing incest. There's no spiritual statement there. But he saw a man who was violently, you know, just openly breaking the law. And he stood up and pointed a finger at him in public and said, you, sir, are committing incest. And and he walked away. And later on, it cost him his head. It cost him his life for having stood up and said that. It was kind of a curious story. But if you put, you know, Christians in America in the same kind of setting, when the nation's leaders are doing wrong, they need to be told, you're doing wrong. It needs to be told publicly, it needs to be told pointedly, and it needs to be backed up with facts. If they're not doing wrong, then shut up. But if they are, they need to be pointed out and said, you, sir, are whatever, what, fill in the blank. And this takes people of courage and people of commitment to do this kind of thing, Dr. Stan. That's what we're missing in our country today, I believe. And I'm hoping and I'm praying, honestly, that there will be more men and women who really get that picture. Like, it's up to them. It's not up to somebody else that's going to do this. It's up to them to stand up and do something.
And, you know, certainly one voice alone can accomplish very little. But absolutely, if you have, you know, a 100,000 voices or a million voices, why, you have a booming sound out there. And there are, I believe, more and more people that are waking up. I wish they were waking up faster, but that's really in God's hands. It's your job, Patrick, and my job. To get the truth out, to let people know what's going on, and to point them in the right direction, to explain to them the importance of legislation, to explain to them what's happening as far as immigration is concerned, and why we're not trying to stop the inflow, massive inflow. And, you know, this is an issue, I think, that the vast majority of the American people feel very strongly about. They don't want to see America as a nation destroyed. And yet it should be obvious to anybody with an ounce of intelligence that that is exactly the policy of the current leadership in Washington, D.C., the current leadership of both political parties. And, you know, they got a 2,000-mile border. We're going to build a 700-mile fence. Isn't that great? We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. My guest this evening is Patrick Wood of the August Review. And Patrick does a tremendous amount of research, and he writes very, very insightful articles, which every one of you out there in the listening audience should be reading. And of course, you certainly be helping and supporting his efforts, because, of course, he runs certainly an independent think tank. And we've got a lot of little think tanks like this all over the country, but this is sort of one of the best ones. What we need is for people to tell people to tell people. Find the issue that they're interested in, not that you're interested in. And I think that one of the biggest and most important issues today is the issue of illegal immigration. Another issue, of course, is the ability of the government to take your land and give it to somebody that's given them political, political contributions to the politicians so that they can exploit your land for their own benefit. And they do this under eminent domain, but it's unconstitutional. But that really doesn't matter. Until the American people get together and, of course, say we're not going to allow this foolishness, it will continue. In states all across America, they pass legislation to do that. Here in California, they intentionally put the legislation on the ballot to stop this seizure of land by eminent domain. And then they put a lot of other things on there that would make it untenable to do that. Standard technique that is utilized as the conservative and the Christian and the anti-communist, and today no longer really so much anti-communist, but at one time was very powerful. But the Christian and the conservative movement have been thoroughly infiltrated by the other side. who are leading us to our own destruction, and we'll put, you know, spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to get legislation on the ballot, knowing full well it will be defeated because they put things into it which even people who support ending eminent domain would never go along with. I'm sure you've seen this technique over and over again, haven't you, Patrick?
Oh, absolutely. It's a common methodology. This is the way they've done it. I might add an observation about the concerns illegal immigration. We talked about this subject before at some length, if your listeners can picture in their mind a map of the United States, picture it. And this is in context of the North American Union that we've also talked about before, the merger of Mexico, Canada, and the United States into a common superstate similar to the European Union. If you can imagine a map of North America with the United States in the middle, imagine a tidal wave of cheap resources like, you know, oil and water and metals and mining stuff that's mined out of the earth in agriculture. Imagine cheap resources coming like a tidal wave down from the northern border from Canada. Imagine a tidal wave of cheap labor coming up from Mexico and from the CAFTA countries in Central America. And imagine these tidal waves meeting in the middle of our country. When cheap labor meets cheap resources, my question would be, what happens when cheap resources meet cheap labor at the same time? This has been the essence of outsourcing of jobs since NAFTA was put into effect. It's been the essence of manufacturing facilities moving to Mexico and China and everywhere else seeking cheap labor. When cheap labor meets cheap resources from Mexico to Canada, when they meet in the middle, Dr. Stan, I would suggest that this will create the perfect economic storm for the global elite. I think this is exactly their plan. And of course, cheap labor is an essential ingredient in the recipe, if you will, for this economic storm. And when the cheap resources of Canada meet the cheap labor from Mexico, they will have created the perfect economic storm for them, if you will, a China on our own continent. You know, where the argument would go from there, or the discussion would go from there, I'll just leave that up to your listeners. But when I had this thought, I don't have visions or anything, but when I had this thought, I was thinking of this picture, and you know, this is what led me to believe that the grand scheme of merging our three countries together is to bring cheap labor and cheap resources together on the common ground, which middle ground, which is in the United States.
Well, of course, along with this cheap labor, we'll be, of course, driving down the wage structure
of
the average American here. Certainly.
We will be, those of us who are here now, will be driven down to the lowest level. Water always seeks the lowest level. And we will be driven down to the lowest level, which would be more like the wages of Mexico than here.
That's absolutely right. I always like to say that, you know, the real purpose of what's going on is to raise our living standards to that of the Mexican peasant. And people sort of shake their heads when they think of that, and they suddenly realize that's not raising them, that's lowering them. And that's what it's all about. There's a master plan out there. I know Patrick is aware of it. It's called the Earth Charter. And one of our listeners who can't get it off the Internet, I'm sure you can get it. We'll be glad to provide you a copy of it. It's in our Sustainable Development Syllabus. There's a master plan to lower our living standards, and the average American has never heard of it. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Patrick Wood. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you are out there across America and like to give us a call, or you're concerned about the things we're talking about, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I think it's so vitally important that people understand that what is happening is not accidental. It is certainly not happening because of a desire to improve the living standards of the American people and provide us with cheap goods. It is an organized, orchestrated effort to reassess and redistribute the wealth of America. equitable distribution of goods, or equitable distribution of wealth is the term I think they use in the Earth Charter, within nations and between nations. Now, they're not talking about equitable distribution of the Rockefellers' wealth or the Marie Strong's wealth or the Mellons or the DuPonts. They talk about equitable distribution of the middle class and the poor class. And, of course, what you're going to see is progressive ratcheting down of the living standards of the average American. Do you think the average individual has any idea what's happening is not by, happening on, by intent rather than by accident?
Well, certainly by intent. Certainly is.
But how can we get the people to understand that? That is, I mean, here they've written their plans out in the Global Biodiversity Assessment,
well,
in
maybe
the Earth Charter.
That's right, yeah. I think using concrete, tangible examples is what gets people's attention. And I'll give you a good one. I think you're an expert on this too. This pertains to CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement. Part of CAFTA that was passed earlier this year by a massive lobbying effort by the Bush administration. It passed narrowly, but it's a treaty that's going to make NAFTA look like a pussycat, I think, by the time it's done. One of the provisions that was snuck through in CAFTA was a so-called codex that was a product of a commission and started in Europe originally under the United Nations. The Codex Alimentarius Commission established a series of regulations that would regulate the supplement industry. That is, things like vitamin C tablets and other types of supplements, vitamins and stuff that you can buy in a health food store or whatever. And
Hold that right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Patrick Wood, and of course, this August review. And before we go on, Patrick, I want you to, of course, get your website out and let people know how they can get in touch with it. Then we'll tell them about the influence of CAFTA and Codex and what that's going to mean to the average individual listening. But before we do that, let's get your website, what they'll find on your website, why they should go there, and anything else you'd like to mention.
Well, certainly,
your ministry.
Yes. My website is open to all readers. It's augustreview.com, www.augustreview.com. We encourage people to register. They don't have to read. They don't have to, but we'd like them to register so we know who they are. And if they do, they can also currently download some electronic copies of our original book, Trilaterals Over Washington. There's two volumes of it. You cannot download that book unless you register, but that's the biggest benefit for registration right now. And we welcome people to come and look and just, you know, read the papers, take them, spread them around, show them to friends and neighbors, et cetera, and, keep the knowledge base growing. This is important.
It certainly is. Now, you were talking about CAFTA, which is the Central American Free Trade Organization. Then, of course, you were talking about association, I should say. And then you were talking about the Codex Alimentarius. And what is this really all about? And let me just also mention, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We're really talking about this globalization, the destruction of our sovereignty. But what is CAFTA? What is the Codex? Why should people even be concerned about that?
Well, basically, this business with Codex is being driven by the big pharmaceutical companies of the world, many of which are just directly involved with globalization in general. But they'd like to control our health. And essentially what this Codex Commission has done in Europe, starting in Europe, is that they have sought to regulate the entire alternative healthcare industry by regulating and manipulating the supplement, the supplements that exist in the market. For instance, in Germany today, this is so ridiculous. In Germany today, because of the Codex being implemented in the European Union, a bottle of vitamin C that contains over 250 milligrams worth of vitamin C per tablet it requires a prescription. And it has a $58 price tag. This is just vitamin C. What they're attempting to do is to put all the supplement industry under the directly under the FDA, require the same level of testing, require the same level of prescriptions, and they want to, you know, dominate the manufacturing of these things so that, you know, people have to go through a medical doctor to get even the simplest of alternative healthcare type things, which, you know, which include everything from vitamin C to potentially to aspirin all the way down to, you know, all the other, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of supplements that people take, for various physical conditions and for just building up immune systems and so on. The Codex Alimentarius code was adopted via CAFTA. That is the Central American Free Trade Agreement. It was put into CAFTA that, that the regulations, the health care regulations in America and all the other countries as well that are subject to CAFTA will be normalized, if you will, or harmonized according to the Central Codex document that's floating around Europe right now. And this will effectively revamp our entire healthcare system from the ground up, because it will basically take our supplemental industry, which is a multi-billion dollar industry in America, out of the hands of the people, if you will, and force it to be in the hands of a major medical establishment and the, you know, the big pharma in the United States. And the thing is, right now, some 70% of all Americans are involved with food supplements in one form or another. You know, that's why the GNC stores do so well all over the country. That's why every town has at least a few, you know, health specialty shops that sell, you know, various types of, you know, alternative supplements and so on. And it's a huge industry, and a lot of Americans are participating in it. It also has cut deeply into pockets of big pharma, and they're not going to put up with it. And so they snuck this codex thing into CAFTA. CAFTA is now law, and the United States is now obligated to follow the rules of the codex and to implement them. And except that we would have, you know, some kind of a, you know, a congressional amendment or something, this industry is going to, you're just going to see it fritter away over the next few years. It's absolutely amazing.
And people don't understand, you really need to be taking supplements. You need to be taking, you know, several thousand milligrams of vitamin C a day, because your body doesn't produce it. You need to be taking a supplementary vitamin D, because unless you're out in the sun, why, you're not going to have adequate vitamin D. And this is an excellent, you know, anti-cancer, certainly antibiotic. Actually, if you take large doses of vitamin D, it will dramatically decrease the incidence of influenza and colds in the wintertime. And the reason you get them is you don't get enough sunlight, so your vitamin D level goes down, you become more susceptible. And these things are well known. You need to be taking magnesium and selenium and fish oils and all of these things. But you see, if you did all of these things and you did them correctly, why, we wouldn't have all the disease. And we wouldn't then need big pharma to be charging us $5 or $10 for a pill that you take on a daily basis. Or sometimes you want to get treatment for you know, cancer, $6,000 a shot. $6,000 a shot? I talk about immoral. I mean, this is, and when you're dying of cancer, a lot of times people will go ahead and give that, take that, and may give you a month or two more of miserable life, when there are effective treatments that certainly can be had by using some of these, certainly these alternative approaches, which can actually, in many respects, slow down the cancer, if not stop it under certain circumstances. So there is an organized effort, I think, that is against our health. But the frightening thing about this is, Patrick, the average citizen doesn't understand that this is simply a means of circumventing our duly elected representatives and having a faceless bureaucracy that's answerable to special interest groups ruling us rather than, you know, certainly the people that we elect. This is what's wrong with this whole codex concept and this idea of supranational control over the lives of the American people.
Well, absolutely. But you know, this is going to hit people in, well, it's worse than hitting them in the pocketbook. This is going to hit them in their medicine cabinet, because a lot of people, and I'm one of them, and I know a lot of people that are into this as well. They attribute their health, that which they have, to the use of these other materials rather than, you know, buying into always taking a drug or a shot or whatever at ridiculous prices. And they're doing very well with their health. And when these products begin to disappear, they're going to start, you know, their health not only go downhill, but they'll start screaming like, what is, you know, what is this about? Hopefully it won't be too late at that point. But this is a practical example of what these people are doing to us. Right under our noses again. And this is law. It's been signed into law. Under the Central American Free Trade Agreement, another thing that they did that's being allowed back because of Codex, the seven most dangerous agricultural chemicals that we've had in our country that have been banned for years are going to be allowed back in because of Codex. They're used in other countries right now, of course. Some of these chemicals, probably your listeners may or may not. I know you probably have some farmers listening, but. One of the chemicals is named aldrin, another is chlordane, another is dieldrin, which is aldrin is another one that's famous chemicals from years past. Myrex is another one. These are tremendously toxic chemicals that are used in agriculture. They used to be used in agriculture. They were completely outlawed and banned in the United States because they were proven to make people sick and seriously sick, cancers and so on. And these chemicals are going to be allowed back into the food chain because of Codex. And it's like, well, you know, what is the point of having cleaned up our own agricultural industry over the last, 50 years if only Codex comes back in, rips it all apart, and dismantles it with one stroke of the pen? And that's exactly what's happened.
And I don't think the average American has any idea what's really going on, how this is going to impact on their health and the health of their family. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I think it's important that people understand there is a plan. It is a plan to do away with national sovereignty and to bring us all under the control of a faceless bureaucracy. They've done it in Europe. They lied to the people there. Oh, my goodness, we're just going to have a free trade zone here in Europe. It's going to benefit everybody. Isn't free trade wonderful? And think of the prosperity we're going to have. And the people did not agree to give up their sovereignty. They did not agree to create a parliament and a faceless bureaucracy, because even the European Parliament doesn't make the decisions. It's controlled by a faceless bureaucracy that actually is ruling our country, the Europe today. And that's what they're planning here, doing the same thing in Africa with a free trade zone, in Asia with a free trade zone, in South America with a free trade zone. They know exactly what they're doing. They do not want the American people to know this is a master plan, actually. Zygmunt Brzezinski talked about this, and our good friend Dr. Dennis Cuddy has a tape of him actually saying this. They're going to create all of these free trade zones around the world, do away with national sovereignty. And then once the people in the name of prosperity have done away with their sovereignty, then they can unite everything into the New World Order and the New World Religion under the Trinity of Evil. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we've got, of all people, Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Yeah, Mike, of all people. I want to ask, didn't the Codex Alimentarius come out of the, or didn't it originally come out of the United Nations Food Summit in Rome? Was that around 94, 95? I'm not sure.
It actually was created in, the initial part of it was created in 1963 under the auspices of the United Nations through the World Health Organization,
mm-hmm.
WHO. The enforcement of Codex has been turned over to, don't choke on this one, the enforcement of Codex has been turned over to the World Trade Organization, WTO.
Okay.
And this is basically, of course, what we saw Richard Gardner write about back in 1974, where he said we've got to do an end run around national sovereignty. And that's what it's all right. They're doing an end run around national sovereignty. And, of course, we're bringing America, indeed all the nations of the world, under this bureaucratic control.
Yes, exactly.
Anything else, Mike?
Well, back to the food summit. Wasn't there some meeting? For me, all this came out back then, shortly after the food summit. And I at least was under the impression that I guess they had a meeting then. at or something.
Well, they may very well have migrated. This is long-range planning. They know exactly what they're doing. They just do it step by step, and they do it so slowly. Most people are totally unaware. They just suddenly one day wake up and they find out they take away my land. They take away this or that or the other thing. I have some land, you know, I was trying to sell, and they found a fern on it. Oh, that meant it was wetland, and if it was wetland, a wife course said that you could not grow it, you could not do anything with that, and so, you know, even though this is perfectly good land, you can't, you know, park cars on that, you might forget the fern. And so I've lost about 3 or 4 acres of commercial property because of federal legislation that I didn't even know was going to apply, and did not apply when I bought the land. So anyway, this is what we're up against, Mike, and we need to let people understand.
Well, there's just an awful lot of people out there still that are in love with the United Nations, and I'm just so happy for programs like yours tonight that start to reveal the underbelly of it all.
God bless, and thanks so much for calling, Mike. Okay, let's go to Bart, who's calling. Hi, Bart. How are you doing?
Fine, sir. Thank you. I have an analogy that occurred to me today that is a very powerful one that might help people to understand. And that is this, there have always been the evil forces that have been trying to come in and take over and infiltrate and break down our republic, but they've been held back by a population that was familiar with their Constitution and Bill of Rights for many years. And here's the analogy, on Australian beaches, many of the beaches have what is called a shark net. It's a woven steel net that keeps the great whites from coming into the beach where the swimmers are. And now we might say that, compare that to our Constitution and Bill of Rights, which always kept the Illuminati New World Order sharks from devouring our nation as long as the people were aware of their Constitution and maintained it. But now the shark net is gone, and the swimmers are still swimming comfortably in the water, unaware that the net that separates them from the great whites offshore is gone, and the great whites are there and preparing for the big feast, the big feed, the big frenzy, ready to move in, and the swimmers are unaware that the shark net is gone. And that's my analogy.
All right, what do you think of that, Patrick?
Well, I think that's pretty good. I was just rehearsing the theme song of Jaws as he was saying that. The unsuspecting swimmers, are being apprehended from behind with big sharp teeth, and they'd be snapped up and gobbled in one or two bites.
Take
it down quick.
I think it's a great analogy, Bart. You're absolutely right. People have forgotten, of course, that we can never trust government. Our founding fathers didn't trust government. Why do we think that we can trust them now?
Or even less so now that that power has been unconstitutionally concentrated into the executive branch.
Amen to that. Okay.
Well, not only do they trust it now, but they've learned to love it, as in Orwell's 1984. They love Big Brother.
They love Big Brother. You're absolutely right.
God bless. Thank you,
gentlemen. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Kurt calling. Hi, Kurt. Do you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah. You know, at the time, I didn't understand Trilateral Commission or Bilderbergers, but there was a fellow during Reagan's presidency in a press conference, and Reagan came completely unglued. I'll never forget the look on his face and him pointing his finger out and just becoming furious when this fellow, Gary Arnold from Santa Cruz, asked a question about, I think it was the Trilateral Commission.
Right,
Oh, yes.
But was Reagan a player? Was he part of the world government?
Very much so.
I'm afraid he was a card. Kurt.
I see.
That's how you get ahead in this world.
Now, is there some evidence of that connection?
Yes, if you actually go and you read my September newsletter, you'll find some fascinating material there. Ronald Reagan was deeply involved in astrology. Did you know that?
Oh, that I knew.
And, of course, the thing is that if you look at the people he put in key positions in his government, he selected a member of the Trilateral Commission as his vice president. And, of course, they brought in the Trilateral Commission, CFR people, into the highest levels of his government. Whether he, just did it so he could maintain power, I can't tell you what was in his heart, but he went right along with the agenda. Hey, thanks very much, Kurt.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Patrick Wood. Patrick, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, that's good, Dr. Stan. This has been an interesting conversation we've had tonight.
I'm thinking of the quote, the famous quote. We beat it to death probably over the years, but the famous quote by Edmund Burke, who was truly a patriot of his time. He said, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." And that certainly is, you know, this is something that we need to apply today.
In fact,
evil will triumph if good men do nothing.
There's a corollary to that, and the price that good men pay for their apathy and the indifference to public affairs is that they are ruled by evil men.
That's right.
The price that good men pay for their apathy and indifference to public affairs is they're ruled by evil men. And if you want to be free, you're going to have to pay the price that comes with that. You can't enjoy freedom unless you're involved, because freedom is a very fragile thing. There are always those who want to take it away and utilize power for their own personal aggrandizement. And as someone once said, freedom never close thine eyes in slumber, for
right.
thine enemies never sleep.
Yeah. So we need to be vigilant. We need to be willing to stand up and tell it like it is. And you know, I hope that your listeners would be encouraged to the extent that they would take the material that they're hearing, like on this show and you know, other places, and take it in hand and go and start engaging the people in their local society, all the way up through their, you know, through their own elected officials, staffers, government staffers, and so on. And call a spade a spade.
Amen to that. And I really think that basically we've got to teach people how to deal with others. You don't get any place by grabbing them by the lapel and shaking them and say, "Don't you know?"
Yeah.
They're not going to listen to you. What you want to do is ask them a question.
That's right.
Why do you think that we're not stopping the illegal immigration? What do you think the impact of legal immigration is on crime in Los Angeles? What is it doing to our hospitals? What's it doing to our, here in California, to our state budget, to our national budget? What will happen, of course, when we have 100 million new illegal aliens in this country, which is, of course, where we're headed, you know, is the people who are here illegally, and then will be able to bring in their wives and families. And what happens if we have a multilingual and multicultural society? What happens to the America we know? Ask questions. Would you agree, Patrick?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like, you know, if we were to send Mexico a bill right now for all of the social services that we extend.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, I guess it's Patrick. Patrick, why don't you just say that if we could just send a bill to Mexico for all the social services we're providing, what were you going to say?
Well, the only way they could pay it is just to hand us the title to the whole country, because there isn't enough money in Mexico to pay for all the social services that we're expending on their citizens up here.
In fact, I love that that line of Jay Leno. He said, you know, there was a recent poll in Mexico. They were asking, you know, how many people would like to come to America, and about 65% of the Mexicans said they'd like to come to America, and the other 35% are already here.
Yeah.
Anyway, God bless you, Patrick. Thanks so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
You're welcome, Dr. Stan.
Good night, and God bless. All right. Well, that was Patrick Wood, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do it. We do 5 hours every day. So if you'd like to help us, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, and we really do need your help so we can maintain the network we have of shortwave and internet and radio stations. Our evening program, the first hour, is heard on 10 or 11 stations, and we do have a unique opportunity to reach people, but we can't do it without your help. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. I do not know of any other ministry that's really going into not only the geopolitical aspects of what's going on, but into the spiritual, because it is a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, a battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Well, of course, we do want to mention, of course, we do carry the Berkey products, and certainly if you're in an area with fluoridated water, do not drink the water. You need to have a Berkey product that will protect you from the ravages and the very real toxic properties of water fluoridation, and especially if you're black, because, of course, in any area where where they have water fluoridation, and they use the hydrofluorosilicic acid, which they use in 91% of the areas where they have fluoridation, it increases the blood level in children sixfold. In whites, only onefold, but in blacks, sixfold. And I believe it's part of a genocidal program. These issues are known, and the fact you're not hearing about them is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. There is no safe level of lead, absolutely no safe level of lead. So why are we putting something in the water that increases the blood level of lead in the bodies of whites and black, and of course specifically black children? There are genetic differences, and I believe that there is a racist agenda going on, and I believe that we have a responsibility to speak out on this. And now, of course, I hope many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com, and you can listen to our programs there on the internet 5 hours a day. Your job is to get other people to listen. You can listen to us 4 hours a day on shortwave. Certainly, we hope that many of you out there will get our book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You'll get the various things that we offer, the tape sets we offer, whether it be on O.J. Simpson, the true story of O.J. Simpson, whether it be on the New World of the Barbarians and the grotesque plan for massive genocide in America and throughout the world. That's the New Order of the Barbarians. My talk on planned population reduction. My talk on population control. Our 4-tape set on population control. Or our population control special. Go up on our webpage and pull down our population control agenda monograph, or we'll get you a copy of it if you get into the other things we've mentioned. Certainly, you need to get our material on the spiritual battle that's being fought today. They sold their souls for rock and roll. You'll certainly want to get a copy of the 4-tape set on the supernatural. You'll want to get the videos that certainly go along with the population control agenda monograph. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Our number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is at war today.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.